Welcome to a brand new episode of the Tennis Lifestyle Podcast. I'm Gianluca Sola. In today's episode, I interview Jens Barthelmes. It's the second time I actually chat to Jens on my podcast. He's been here before in the beginning of the year, or middle of the year, more or less. Anyway, Jens is the founder of stringforum.net. Stringforum.net is a fantastic website. It obviously deals with everything has to do with strings, tennis strings. It has thousands of reviews, ratings. It's just an excellent place to get all your information, actually not only on strings but also on string machines, and there's a huge community and reviews on also rackets and all kinds of things, but mainly it's on strings. And you can really, really find out everything you want to know. So whether you are kind of like wanting to try a new string, or you're wondering what string could be good for your racket, et cetera, it's just a brilliant place to get advice and to see, all the different reviews. Anyway, we had a great chat. Jens talks about different things. One thing that's very interesting, I think, is we discuss different strings and string settings, or different string types for different players, or for different game styles. So what strings he suggests, that was very interesting. We also talk about new innovations and new technology in the stringing world, what strings were good this year, what to maybe expect next year. And he also talks about a new project that he will launch very soon, next year, which is also going to be extremely interesting. Towards the end of the podcast, he discusses about this as well. That's about it. Again, I want to thank all my listeners. Please subscribe, follow the podcast. I'm on pretty much all the major platforms. And you can follow me on Instagram, tennis_lifestyle_podcast, or also on Twitter, GLSOLA, GLSOLA. So I hope you enjoyed the episode, and ciao, ciao. Jens?
Hey, Luca, good morning.
Hi, morning. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Very well. It's just not a beautiful day here today, but summer is coming. How about you?
Winter is coming, yes. So it's freezing, but still not so bad, actually, for almost December. We are still in the 0 to 8 degrees Celsius.
Okay. Yeah, that's very cold for us in South Africa.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming back on the podcast. It's been a while. We talked quite a few months ago, and thanks for coming back on. Just for the listeners who don't know you, Jens, and I don't want to attempt your surname. Can you tell your surname? Pronounce it again.
Oh, it's pronounced Barthelmes.
Barthelmes. Okay. you're from Germany, and you're the owner of stringforum.net, amongst other things, which is an incredible tennis string forum and community. It's on the web, and I would say it's probably the most comprehensive string and stringing machine, etc., place to go for information on the net. It really has got thousands of string reviews, information, anything you need to know, and it's just excellent because you can get feedback from other players, and it's really, really good.
So tell me, Jens, what have you been up to in the sense? You told me that you actually co-wrote or co-authored an article for a German newspaper about different string setups for different players.
Yeah, that's right. So normally, for the German tennis magazine, I'm organizing the annual string test. So that's more most of the time it's like 10 around 10 different strings that are distributed to a group of play testers, and then I'm receiving their impressions and calculating all of the results without knowing which strings were tested. They are non-marked and so just numbered. This works really well, but this year is special, as you all know. We didn't perform the string testing,
Okay.
but rather wrote an article that guides players to, let's say, first of all, informs players about different aspects of strings, but then also guides them to finding the right string or the best string on their own, right? And so that was the focus for this year.
Okay. And what can I ask, what magazine or newspaper is this? Is this tennis newspaper in
Yeah,
Germany or?
it's called Tennis Magazine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, great. And that's quite interesting. So what's your I mean, you just wrote the article, or were you also involved in giving out the strings and the test itself?
So normally in the 10 years before, yes, this year there was no testing. So no
Okay.
reviews, but just let's say the informative article.
Oh yeah. So you just wrote on your own. You said, was it five different setups that you did, or 10?
No. So no specific reviews, but just information about strings in general
Oh.
and a guide to finding the right string. So for all the players out there,
Okay.
how they can go about
Oh, okay.
selecting the right string. Yeah.
Okay. Fine. I finally got there. Yeah, it's still morning here. Okay. Yeah. No, that is something. Well, my first, my immediately, I think, is this based on, let's say, an average kind of club player? Because I guess it could be different from the four different levels.
Yeah, it was a challenge to bring let's say in different angles for different levels of players. That's right. So we tried in this article to give guidance on a very generic basis, but then also provided some starting points for different levels of players, or let's say different also different preferences. Yeah, so there are still, let's say, among the advanced players, there may still be players that prefer control versus players that prefer spin or power, right? So also
Okay.
explained a lot of these aspects and strings that, or materials or constructions that
Okay.
pay on to the different characteristics. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I wanted to ask you this last time, and I know it's obviously a personal opinion, but obviously it's coming from you, which is obviously a lot more informed. I know it's. I know there's so many aspects and to strings and players and tennis and the racket, etc. But let's just assume, you know, we take your average player and so on. If a player is, for example, aggressive baseliner who plays with a lot of topspin, example. what setup would you recommend?
That sounds like a typical monofilament or polyester player, because when you hit hard from the baseline with lots of spin, typically you suffer from string breakage, right? And
Okay.
you need some material and some string construction that will at least give you a couple of hours of durability. And so natural gut or synthetic gut or multifilaments are not perceived as the most durable string
Okay.
constructions. So then among the polyester strings, there's a whole wide range of characteristics
Sure.
that you can get. And so from what I've seen, there's basically two classes when it comes to construction. It's shaped strings and round strings.
Yes.
Now, if you are a hard or heavy spinner, you typically have the technique to generate spin with your swing,
Racket head speed.
yeah, with your racket
Yeah.
head speed, exactly. And that's so that's why shaped strings do not necessarily give those types of players an advantage, because yeah, just
Yeah.
doesn't matter. It matters more for players that have a slower kind of swing and supports them. So that's not a differentiator for that group of players.
Okay.
It's rather the amount of control that you require, yeah, depending on your swing speed and so on. There are monofilaments that are more elastic or resilient,
Okay.
that provide little bit more of, let's say, scattering, of the ball. And there are stiffer strings, so that's all depends on the material mix. Yeah, you cannot see it because it's on the molecular level,
Yeah.
but on the material mix you can feel the difference between a stiff string and a more a softer polyester, right?
Software enough.
Yeah.
If I want to, and somebody who's not an expert like me, I want to get straight to the question. For example, I don't know if you're allowed to, or if you want to talk about different companies, but if you had to choose a string and a string setup. Obviously, we haven't also talked about the diameter of the string, and maybe a thicker one, I might be wrong, is better, since if you do a lot of spin, they might tend to break quicker. But what's your opinion? What if you had to choose two or three strings, which ones would you suggest to a good club player?
So for a good club player, I really don't want to name specific brands. There are
Okay.
so many options out there, but I mean for let's say for really a hard hitting baseline players, one of the most popular ones is still the Luxilon AluPower, right? But there are
Okay. Yeah.
many alternatives out there. Yeah, so to name Solinco Turbite, or being it Pacific Polyforce, which is a more advanced player oriented string, or then on the softer side, Yonex Polytour Pro. So there are a bunch of strings. I could continue the list, like
Yeah,
naming
no, for
Babolat
sure. Yeah,
RPM, RPM Blast, and so on. So there's many of them, and from
there's a lot of good
from
strings.
every manufacturer, from every brand, you get a whole range of polyester or monofilaments that are targeted to different groups of players. Yeah.
Yeah, I must say, lately I happened to buy a reel of strings, and they were the shaped ones. And I've played often with shaped ones in the past, and I'm not a good player, but I've never really enjoyed the shaped ones. And I've tried quite a lot of different ones. I tried the Solinco Revolution, Technifiber Black Code, and blah blah blah. And the other thing I noticed is obviously they tend to break very quickly. And we're a family here with three players, and so we tend to go through something like that very quickly. So it also becomes very expensive. But I've never really enjoyed those type of shaped strings. But I can see there is a was this more of a marketing tool from the companies, do you think? I mean, are there really any pro players that use a shaped string?
Yeah, good question. Actually, I'm not sure if there's so th there are a few. I'm sure among all of the pros, which are more than 1,000 maybe, they or women and men together. I mean, that's a whole range of players. There will be a few that use a shaped string, but the majority isn't. Yeah, a good question about the marketing. I mean, the whole explosion of different shapes and almost like every new string that is released, if it's not shaped, it may come later as a shaped version, right? Yeah, I think it's to serve a certain demand. I think it was triggered by Rafael Nadal. Players just like to be like him and hit like him.
But sorry to interrupt you, Jens, but I actually heard, well, it was on another podcast, a very well-known stringer, a world stringer, who was talking about Nadal's strings. And to my surprise, okay, well, first of all, he doesn't play with shaped. I think obviously he plays with the bubble up. But the most incredible thing he said, he uses an extremely thick diameter. It's like 16 or even I don't know. I was very surprised by it.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if you
No,
know that or anything
I
about
can
that.
confirm. I don't know if it has changed. I don't think he has changed. But yeah, he used to play a round string in a thick diameter. Yeah, that's right. And but so that people, so most of the players don't know, because the marketing was around that octagonal shaped string. And yeah, and that's so again, but it doesn't matter about the string. It's actually about the way he's hitting, and the aspect of being able to generate spin has been promoted a lot. Yeah, and that's why a lot of emphasis was made from the brands and the products on the spin capability. Now, if you say you didn't like, I can understand, because those shaped strings, they depending on the shape, of course, but they tend to feel a bit stiffer compared to the round ones, and then don't provide as much feel. From a durability perspective, also interesting. Some of the arguments that are promoted by the brands is that if you have, let's say, a hexagonal or a square-shaped string, that you have the strings basically contacting each other with a plane, right? Not just a very small spot. If you imagine two round strings touching, it's just a very small spot. If you imagine two square shaped strings touching, it's a whole area, right? So that's one of the arguments. But then if you hit the ball, most likely the shaped string will twist. It's not just sliding or gliding, but it's most likely it's twisting. So temporarily, it's not just yeah. So The reality may be different, and that's why you also may experience a reduced durability. Mm. But the main factor is feel, and that's still where round strings have an advantage.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. And now to talk, let's say, for example, your player who's not in a baseliner and plays a lot of shots and topspin, blah, blah, blah. But let's say a player who hits very flat, very powerful, and doesn't play many shots. Would there be a setup, string setup, different than a baseliner, or what's your opinion?
Yeah,
there?
so if you have a flat hitter, then it definitely mm-hmm. changes also in terms of string setup, because then durability is not the main aspect, and also spin def obviously is not the main aspect. Maybe that it may be power that you want to be able to generate, or feel, because if you have a more classic way of hitting, and you say no winner shots, more likely to just put the ball strategically into the court. So there mm-hmm. We enter the range of multi-filaments as a larger group mm-hmm. of strings, and they are based mm-hmm. on a wider range of different materials other than polyester. So taking material and construction into account, again, this opens up really a whole range of options. Yeah. So there are nylon based strings that are quite simple in construction, and also mm-hmm. rather affordable, almost every brand has such a synthetic gut or nylon based string on the market. This is for, I think, for all round purposes. By the way, nylon as a material has about the same stiffness as natural gut, so that's quite impressive from a material point of view. But then the construction itself, of course, is different. As I think we spoke last time, natural gut is still the premium choice. Mm-hmm. Due to the biological nature of the material, the main difference between nylon mm-hmm. and natural gut, even although it has comparable stiffness, is that if you stretch it, or if you pre-stretch the string as you do when you are putting it into the racket, the stiffness changes. So nylon gets stiffer and stiffer, while natural gut doesn't. So you can pre-stretch it with up to 30 kilograms, string it in that range on the racket, but it would still be resilient, and nylon wouldn't. You'd feel like a board. So that's the difference. And then there is multifilaments who are tempting. Attempting to imitate the feel and touch of natural gut. It's more like a quite expensive type of string, because it's not easy to produce.
What string would you say that is not natural gut, in your opinion, goes the closest to the feeling mm-hmm. of natural gut? If you had to pick two or three.
So based on the tests that I mentioned initially, the tennis magazine tests here in Germany, based on the last 10 years, we were also testing multifilament strings. There were two that can be really named as sticking out of the mass, which is the Kirschbaum gut feeling, and the Technifiber X1 by face, and these two were perceived as getting closest to a natural gut performance.
And price wise, are they the same as natural gut? A lot cheaper, do you know?
Slightly cheaper, but not that much. Yeah,
not that much. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to ask you is a lot of players, especially good level players, as we know, they, you know, string their rackets with two different strings. Usually it's a poly and then there's a natural gut. This is not very common with players like me, club players that obviously, you know, because it's very expensive as well. But what type of setup would that be for what type of player? Or is that a pretty just a universal way of stringing it that just feels really good no matter what kind of player you are?
Yeah, I can confirm it does feel really good if you combine a natural gut with a polyester string. You get the best of both worlds and really also in terms of durability, it's better than people are saying. Yeah, so the target group for this hybrid type of stringing, pros are using this combination. But I think it's would also be recommendable for an average club player if they want the best performance and don't want to play pure poly, maybe because of arm or elbow issues, right? And nylon strings or pure multifilaments don't provide the level of control. Then hybrid with poly and multifilament or poly and natural gut is an option, yeah, for everyone. It's not it doesn't require a certain player level.
Yeah. Or a certain type of player. It just goes across all, because it gives you a great feel, and which is the gut, and it gives you the power and control. It's would you say if you do the same but use synthetic gut instead of natural gut, do you think also that could work?
That also works, yeah, of course. It's always the difference is that natural gut as compared to a nylon based or other materials like polyurethane multifilaments, natural gut maintains the tension much better, so it will give you a longer consistent playability as compared to synthetic strings, and this can also be an argument if you're not a hard hitter that has a huge string consumption. You want to have the consistent playability over a long period of time. Yeah, and that could be an advantage. But also, a lot of players combine poly and multifilament just to have this special mix. As I said, it can be for flat hitters. It can be for spin players. Because actually, what has been also investigated is that poly and gut enable the strings to glide really well in the string bed. So that means in terms of spin and snapback effect, this is a good combination. At some points. The natural gut still will start to fray, and if the outer shell is worn, then it starts to fray, and then it's breaking more quickly than some of the synthetic strings. But that depends on the style of play.
Yeah, No, that's amazing. I'm thinking all kinds of questions all over the place now are coming up, but the we you know what I've recently kind of looked at is, and I'm not trying to, I don't advertise or promote anybody on my podcast, there's a lot of smaller companies, let's say in the past years, that have popped up. And I happen to have a friend here, in Cape Town, who's importing from Italy a string called String Kong. I don't know if you know about that company. And I just tried a few. He gave me a few to try, and I mean, I was really impressed. They were fantastic. And do you think there is a? I think. Do you think there is a lot of? I noticed there is a lot of people who obviously will go for the known brands, because they are famous brands. But would you agree that these smaller companies are making really, really top quality products, if not even better?
Yes, I mean of course, it's the same as in, I don't know, the nutrition industry, the food industry. There are not as many factories as there are brands, right? So especially the small brands, those strings are produced in the same factories. So let's say at least the quality is should be comparable. The difference is that you have the ability as a small brand to specify to a factory what kind of string you want to have, and then you can get some prototypes, you can test, and this factory will produce a string for you, where you say, hey, okay, this is what I like, I want to sell this. Yeah, and so this is how it goes. And of course, there could be some things that are overseen during this process. Yeah, maybe the brand says to the factory, hey, I want the most powerful string in the world. Okay, factory saying, yeah, we'll experiment a bit with the material mix, and here you have the result. If the testing is not done in a professional way, yeah, it could turn out that the most powerful string in the world is breaking after half an hour. Yeah, so of course that depends a bit on the quality assurance in the entire process. And yeah, potentially, so this can vary, yeah, among different brands. And normally you can assume that the bigger brands invest or are able to invest more in this quality assurance and testing than smaller brands, but this is just an assumption. Yeah, so that you cannot generalize it. There are small brands that provide very good products, and so you as a player are able to have your own opinion on that when testing those brands. So I'm all for giving small brands a chance, test the products and compare them to the bigger brands.
Just a thought while you were talking. These factories, which I probably assume are mostly in China, I don't know, but these factories, when they have to make a new product, a new string, who tests it? Do they have people, specific people, or do they send it back to the company and they have their own people who test it? Do you know how that works? Because I mean, that is crucial. Whoever's going to test the string, really has got the last say, I guess, if it's worth it or not.
Right, and that can be again different from each company. So I cannot definitely say, but the process that I heard is normally if you are a brand, you want to market your string, you want to have your own characteristics, it's up to you to validate and test the product. Quality, so so the basic quality testing, like mechanic testing, for tensile strength and other parameters, that is typically done in the factories. So so that at least the physical parameters of the string are quality assured. Yeah,
they meet a certain criteria.
But the
yeah.
playability and the playing characteristics on the court, that's typically the task of the brand, to assess and choose the one that fits the strategy most. Yeah.
There is, let's say this year, which has been, as we all know, extremely weird, 2020. But has there been anything that stood out for you in the stringing world? Anything new, groundbreaking? I kind of asked you this question before, but that was the beginning of the year. Is there been any company or any type of string that that you would like to talk about? And is there something you know that next year might be very, very interesting that is happening in the string world?
Well, okay, let me see. I mean, there still have been a few new strings coming on the market this year. One of the winners of last year's test, which was the head experimental, it's now called the Lynx Tour. That was definitely receiving a lot of great reviews from everywhere. So so that
My son used that, and I've tried it on the, sorry to interrupt you, but we he uses that, and I use the same racket as his, and when I use his racket, it's it can only be the strings. It just feels, and we use the same tension. It just feels very good. So yeah, I can confirm it's a brilliant string.
So so that came out of last year. So it was basically released last year, but not under the same name. There are not many reviews for those new strings yet, right? And so you can hardly tell. But for me, no real highlight concerning new products. And actually, what can be improved further in the strings, right? It's I think the market is rather saturated. You can get everything, from very soft polyethylene based strings to very stiff monofilaments. It's a main characteristic of a string, so from that end, it's only about nuances that can be changed, unless a company comes up with a totally new material, a totally new polymer that provides a breakthrough, let's say performance in the racket, and if there are companies working on these materials, I'm sure it is highly top secret, right? So I wouldn't know, but let's see. Maybe we are surprised. I'm sure many companies that have a research and development department in the monofilament area are trying out a lot of different materials and additives still. to create new experiences. But yeah, we haven't seen we haven't seen this for the past let's say 10, 20 years. There was no breakthrough revolution in terms of that.
Because to be honest, as you were saying, the market has become so big, and it seems to me there is such a choice, and there is a lot of good strings. So I mean, there's a lot of good strings out there to choose from, and it seems to me that polyester will probably be around for a long time.
Definitely, and I mean there's a lot of evolution still within that class of strings, combining let's say different materials within a polyester based string, so it's no longer a real monofilament. So it was a couple of years ago, based on the strategy of hybrid in one string, basically, right? And there are a few of these out there. It's just that, again, it's not easy to produce, and therefore also rather expensive sort of strings. So there will be all kinds in between. We will see more of these material mixes and maybe also some new constructions based on new materials that come in, but that new material is not suitable for a monofilament, but maybe to combine it. There's a lot of creativity still in the market, I would say.
Do you know how much it costs to make for the manufacturer string from a cost point of view? When it's on the shop, when it's in a shop for sale, is it a massive markup?
That depends on the string. I think for different types of strings, there are different types of margins, and you have to take into account not only the production, which when it is being set up, you have set up all the machines, you have configured the machines, you have set up the materials, and then if you produce kilometers of string every day, of course there is a fixed cost, and of course also these manufacturers are aiming to be profitable. So it's not actually the manufacturers, the factories that gain the most share. It's more the brands, that perform a lot of marketing, and then of course also have to have some margin on there. So the factory needs to be at least profitable. Investing in research, investing in the machines and the staff that takes care about configuring it so that that the string comes out in the right quality. Of course, so as always, there's some margins involved. I don't know. I cannot say for any string which is the manufacturing cost and which is the price that the brand pays, and then the final price. So don't have an idea about that.
Yeah, I was always just wondering. And I don't know if we mentioned this in our previous talk, but what about the color of a string? The color does change the string, am I right?
The brands or manufacturers would say no, because there is so little pigment in the strings to color them differently, that normally you would say, no, it doesn't have an effect. And the interesting thing is, from the player reviews and discussions on the forums, the perception is that it does make a difference, maybe not a significant one, but one example is always that a black string, so talking about monofilaments now, so a black monofilament is perceived softer than the same, so the same string in a different color. And there's speculation, is it really the chemistry? Maybe not. Maybe it's the way, where are you playing with that string? Are you playing outdoors? Is the sun shining? Is the sun heating the string a bit more if it doesn't reflect a lot of the radiation? Yeah, so a white string is reflecting a lot, black string is absorbing a lot. Maybe that is the truth. But then when you try out, really, you can do the experiment. If, for example, a lot of polyesters come in a wide range of colors. The MSV co-focus or the focus hex, for example. Yeah, same manufacturers, same process, same string, same gauge, different color. You can play test, I don't know, white against black, or white or yellow or red against black, and you can notice potentially a difference if you hit indoors. So that's a very interesting aspect, but the ones that produce the strings say no, there shouldn't be any difference.
I was just looking at your top five strings of the month, and that's quite interesting because there's a lot of people hitting nearly 200, so it gives you a very good idea. And I saw the MSV focus is right up there.
If you look at the stringforum.net start page, so most likely these top five of the month, so these are the most visited strings on the website. That means people are looking at the reviews or the information about the string.
I see. Okay.
And this may be due to the frequency at which these strings are also appearing in the latest reviews, right? So if you have a lot of reviews of a certain string, it will also automatically get a lot of hits. Yeah. But then again, sometimes strings appear on the list that have not been reviewed in the past in this current month. So so that's sometimes websites, also other websites outside, they are someone posting a link to the page on String Forum. And that also, of course, then it makes the string a bit more popular because people are looking at it.
Your top five overall strings
or the top five of the month. That's the difference. Top five overall.
I saw that. No, I was just talking. I'm just saying this is a separate one. I see you've also got the top five overall on the main page. Is that overall that have
so
been
overall
tested?
In this case means across all the different characteristics, because you can look at the most durable strings or the most spin friendly strings, and the overall is across all the different.
It takes it all: the control, feel, comfort, exactly. Spin, tension, stability. And then at the end you have overall. So these are people who have tested the strings or rated the strings, and And grapple snake, which is your number one here, hybrid natural gut. Okay, we don't get that in South Africa. Where is this
So
company
that yeah,
from?
also a rather new company on the market, has been around for a few years only. It's based out of Luxembourg. So the brand, very, very small brand, but yeah, based out of Luxembourg and providing a rather small range of strings. And yeah, they have received rather good reviews. Still, yeah, let's say the hybrid, for example, 20 so far. This is already in a range where you can assume that this, okay, this is valid. Yeah. If you only have five reviews or six, I would be skeptical, because not enough players have reviewed it. But yeah, in this range, it looks like a trend. Yeah.
A trend. And then you have Miami, sorry. That, as we were saying earlier, is that also quite a
Yeah,
smallish
true.
company?
And I think this brand comes from either Ukraine or Russia. I'm not sure. And yeah, also focused a lot on monofilaments. Yeah, also quite popular. That's right.
They seem to get a lot of good reviews. That's just according to your website.
Yeah, because
Sorry,
that
wanted
brings
to
me to
say
another
something?
point. So some of the smaller brands, they actually use the forum to provide samples of the strings, right? So and that's fine for me, yeah, because I want also the visitors, the users of my website to get the opportunity to test strings for free. So a lot of the smaller brands are providing these strings, and for them it's also good to get the reviews up in the website, right? So there's no deal or something. It's again, if the number of reviewers is high enough, I believe that's non-biased. But again, just to add that, yeah, if you see a small brand with a lot of reviews, it's most likely let's say the distribution of free samples to the community. Otherwise, yeah, you would normally not see that many reviews for those rather unknown brands.
I
But
see.
then it sometimes if these strings are really good and the reviews are good, then further testers obtain the strings and provide reviews. And if then it doesn't go down significantly, okay, then it means that the testers haven't been influenced from the beginning. Yeah, so that's very important to observe on the long run if a string really performs well for a larger group of players.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, Jens, I mean, what is there anything else? I know we need to stay within the hour. We're nearly there. Is there anything else maybe that you wanted to add or talk about? Or is there any exciting things happening with
Yeah,
String
well,
Forum?
I can do some pre-announcement for your listeners. So I'm working on releasing a racket database soon on stringforum.net that will cover a wide range of rackets available on the market with all this
People are going to go crazy.
with record specifications and a couple of nice features that also, you know, enable you to find similar records to the one that you are using, and stuff like this. And what's missing and what will then come a bit later is the ability to review records also. Yeah, that's a bigger aspect. But for now, the next feature coming up on StringForm will be the record database. Stay tuned.
And will that be inside the StringForm.net website?
Exactly.
I mean, you'll access it from there. So you're not planning to do a completely separate one, for example,
the domain
called RacketForm.
Exists already, so no. So I have it, and no, I'm not planning to change the name of the website or the URL at the moment. Focused on strings, but extending into records, because I think it makes sense. People are testing strings on different frames, and frame does at least make 50% of the performance of the player. So it's good to have to have this view and finally. So again, no outlook when it will come, but also to be able to rate the performance of records. That's on the agenda.
No, I'm sure a lot of people will love that. I know the tennis freaks, the tennis nerds are they love these things. Will it have this? Will you eventually try and have the same sort of layout for rackets with, you know, best rated, latest rated?
It will be.
Are you going to keep it?
It will be different. So I cannot say too much. It will be one central page for rackets, where you will find an overview and then can let's say drill down into the racket details. I mean, there are already a few features on StringForm that deal with rackets. Yeah, for example, the stringing patterns, the DT measurements, which are also relating to the racket and string combination, and it's just a further evolution. And once racket reviews are online, then of course the start page should reflect the latest changes and additions. Yeah, that's true.
Great, fantastic. I'm looking forward to that, and thank you very much. It was nice to talk to you again. I always find the topic of strings interesting. I'm not an expert, so you know, that's really interesting to find out what's going on and your opinion. So thanks for coming, and maybe, you know, we should do this every 6 months or so.
If there's a significant update, maybe we can talk if once the record review feature is online. Always a pleasure talking with you. Thanks again for inviting me, and thanks for all the listeners who have gone way through this conversation until the end.
Okay, great, Jens.
You too.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
and have a great day.
Bye.
Okay. Ciao, ciao.